In Berkeley, it's Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and we continue our weekly election crimes bulletin with Greg Palast. Stay tuned.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.
This is Dennis Bernstein, and welcome back to our weekly election crime bulletin with Greg Palast. The election is over, so now the election becomes the crime scene. Greg, it is good to have you back. We're going to keep going because your friend Chris Kobach, among others, is continuing apace to carry out the Trump policies. So to set the scene for us, remind us who he is and where we are right now in the crime scene.
Well, first of all, since we haven't spoken since the crime, they would just cover police, police scene. Don't touch the evidence, which is November 8th was a crime scene. There is no doubt, none in my mind, and I'm talking to, of course, my boss at Rolling Stone about the details. But there's no question that Trump lost, and I'm not just talking about the popular vote by a couple million. I'm saying in those electoral college swing states, the ultimate evidence is that the exit polls were way off. And we're not talking about the guesstimate polls, before the projection polls, because they don't know who's going to vote. We're talking about the exit polls. People walk out and they say, here's who I just voted for. And those people, the people in the exit polls clearly gave the election in all those swing states, and we're talking Wisconsin, and we're talking Michigan, Ohio, North Carolina especially, Florida, gave those states to Hillary Clinton. And now what could be the difference between the exit polls? Remember, these are people who just walked out and said, here's how I voted. This is the gold standard. Our own State Department uses exit polls to determine whether a nation's elections are honest. If it differs from the count, we accept the exit polls in every country, like we rejected the Ukrainian elections and rejected Serbian elections and rejected Peruvian elections because of the mismatch with the exit polls. But in the United States, we say, oh, it's not a dishonest election. It's the election. It's the pollsters who are obviously corrupt, right? You know how Hillary pays them off. Here's the truth. People said they voted for Clinton because they did. What happened? Well, first of all, one thing we don't get in the United States, which we do get, I work with BBC, and we do, when BBC reports vote totals from an election, we report, for example, on Brexit, those for Brexit, those against Brexit, and the ballots that didn't get counted or invalidated for some reason, they were blank, they were destroyed, they were unreadable, something. We don't do that in the United States because there's so darn many. I figure roughly, we have to see how it shakes out. We don't have all the numbers. About 5 million votes were invalidated, either what are called the provisional ballots, which were rejected, early ballots, mail-in ballots invalidated, absentee ballots invalidated. For example, in over half of Trump's margin is accounted for by the rejection of 97,000 votes in Durham, North Carolina. That's the black, you got Raleigh-Durham is kind of one city where the Raleigh part is white and the Durham part is black. And 97,000 early votes were simply invalidated and rejected. That was half of Trump's margin. And we go on from there. And so you have a definite count. So it's the reason why there's a difference between exit polls, which said Hillary won, and the Trump poll and the final count, which is that Trump won, as counted by the GOP officials, is simply from votes invalidated and not counted. You don't need fancy computer messing around with the vote tallies at all to account for this. This is straightforward ballot goes in the garbage stuff. So I would note that, for example, in North Carolina, Hillary won by a huge margin, 3.8% in the exit polls. And yet she was shown as losing by 2%. But of course, you had 97,000 black votes thrown out just in Durham in the early voting. That's so you can imagine what happened elsewhere. And as you know, we've been following the fate of the worst new purge program called Interstate Crosscheck. That was huge in North Carolina, huge. And in my film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, I go down to North Carolina, I confront these guys. I have the sheets of these supposed illegal voters, and I meet with them. I mean, you know, you know, they accused literally 190,000 people in North Carolina. The GOP Secretary of State accused 190,000 people of illegally voting twice, and they didn't bring a single case, even though it's a felony crime, they didn't bring a single case against anyone, but they wiped out tens of thousands of votes. And if you take the early vote out of Durham, the cross check, and some of the other shenanigans, it is there's no question that Hillary did win, as the exit polls say, in North Carolina. Michigan, down to 11,000 votes. Again, a cross-check state with 449,000 people tagged as double voters. About 50,000 were removed, mostly minorities. There's your math. There's your Michigan. Wisconsin, just a few little tricks that they were playing there. That's Wisconsin. Florida, Hillary won that. By exit polls, 1.3%, but somehow the Donald pulls out by 1.4%. Again, the massive blockade of the minority vote. This was a Jim Crow election, the first election since the destruction of the Voting Rights Act in 2013, our first presidential election, and we see what happened.
Let me just come in. We're speaking with Greg Pallast, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. This is your weekly protection bulletin. We call it the elections crimes bulletin. Greg has got the crime scene tape up now and has been watching the way in which there was a massive move to disenfranchise voters of color, black voters. This is very targeted, and we see the sort of the white race kicking in. It is, of course, of a significant note as you pull off this election in which so many black and brown people are disenfranchised. Somebody like Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, who hates voting rights, who was instrumental in wiping out the Voter Rights Act, is now rising to the highest law enforcement official in the land. It is terrifying, Greg.
Yep, and what you have to understand, this is not the end of the attack on voting rights. This is not the culmination. This
is the beginning, right?
And here's why. Guess what? The guy behind Interstate Crosscheck, the guy who came up with the Muslim tracking list that everyone's going crazy about, Chris Kobach, KK, the Secretary of State of Kansas for the moment, he's going to end up as head of the Department of Homeland Security. Write that down. Greg Pallast just said it. He's going to end up as head of the Department of Homeland Security, so he can go back to Muslim tracking and head of immigration in Homeland Security. But he's also using Homeland Security. His idea will be to use that as a base to attack the voter rolls. Now, that's not just my fantasy, my dark fantasy. And he went in, Chris Kobach, Sunday, went in to meet with Trump, and photographers had that nice little, you know, two white guys smiling at the camera shot before they went in for their discussion. And Kobach had his memos he was handing to Trump in his hand. And foolishly, especially for a guy who wants to be head of Homeland Security, he didn't even put a cover on the memos. So some sharp photographers actually got a picture of a hunk of the memos. And it says that they have a plan to draft amendments to the voting rights law and the National Voter Registry. It's right on that memo that the photographers were able to get pictures of. So his idea is to use Homeland Security to cleanse the voter rolls. And guess who gets cleansed, Mr. Mohammed?
Amazing.
That's how it's going to be. And so we are just, believe me, this is the Fifth Reich here. Okay?
This is white power, is what it is.
It's really, they're using white. They're using like the great lawyer Bob Fitrakis went in with me on the day before Election Day. I was allowed in as the only reporter who covered the hearing on his lawsuit in Ohio to try to make the vote somewhat straight. He says it's not that they're bigots. They use bigotry. They know that that's a way. In other words, if you say we're knocking off terrorists off the voter rolls, no one's going to complain. If you're knocking off double voters off the voter rolls, no one's going to complain. If you're knocking off supposed aliens who don't exist, Trump said 1 million aliens literally swam the Rio Grande to vote for Hillary. They didn't arrest one, which is kind of odd. But and especially, what were they reluctant? Because Joe Arpaio is still, you know, still the sheriff there in Arizona. They didn't arrest any. They didn't arrest any double voters, but they knocked off literally hundreds of thousands of minority voters as double voters. This type of game. And now the guy who's been running these basically racist programs. And again, I don't know if he's a racist. And I met Chris Kobach. You know, he went to Oxford. He's a cosmopolitan guy. He's a brilliant guy. He knows that race is the lever to get what you want in America. If you can scare people with their opponent's skin color, then you can get away with an awful lot. And clearly, that's what he has in mind, to take over Homeland Security, to make this a terror state, and to lock down America, but also use that as a way to terrorize voters and purge the voter rolls.
Well, according to your film, he certainly does like vanilla ice cream.
Yes, and in my film, because he wouldn't meet with me, right? He wouldn't meet with me, so I flew to Wichita when I found out he had an ice cream social in a public park, and I got a combat photographer, Daniel Myers, because I didn't know what was going to be there.
You needed one. Well, only vanilla that they were serving?
Yeah. And it was true. So they had this Republican fundraiser. They're all about 115. They're 100% white, about 115 years old is the average age. And they're all, and it's an ice cream social, but there's only vanilla ice cream. And in the meantime, Kobach, who's going to be our anti-terrorism chief, and by the way, it does kind of scare me that he doesn't know that he's dealing with national security. You don't put a cover on your memos. Thank God he didn't, but, you know, like, geez. And but he's running away from me in the film, but still trying to eat his ice cream and screaming at me that I'm a liar. And I'm confronting him with these documents because, see, he thought at first from a distance that he didn't recognize me right off because I didn't have my hat on at first. And then I also, one of those microphones with the cube on it that said Channel 4, like Eyewitness News, except it was Channel 4 Britain. He didn't know that. So I grabbed him. You know, that's how. But, you know, it's fun and games, but now
it's profound. Now it is. This is pretty extraordinary. Well, Greg, we're going to leave it there, but we're going to keep doing this elections crime bulletin because the crimes continue, as you say, structurally. Now, if they manage to jam Sessions through. Now, this guy, you know, everybody was, you know, going, oh, David Duke. But David Duke is sort of virtually, in context, powerless. But Sessions, he was the Uptown White Citizens Council. He was the funder. He made this stuff happen. He implemented these early voter fraud investigations. I'm telling you, Greg, you go back and you look at this stuff. Sessions was Mr. Black Voter Fraud. And he was vicious. He'd stick elderly people on buses and drive them across state at, you know, 90 and 100 degree temperature in western Alabama to come and testify for these incredible accusations. So, by the way, did you commit voter fraud and did you burn down your own church to divert us? I mean, that's who is going to be the attorney general. So here they are, the white power folks together. It's ugly.
Yeah, well, and again, it's who's behind them. As I say, in the best democracy money can buy, behind Kobach, that he's Kansas. That's the Kochs, okay? The Kochs, figured out a way to shove $100,000 into this guy's pocket.
The Kochs, by the way, who now advertise on your favorite business show, Marketplace. Anyway.
Yes. So it's like, you know, we're all Koch people, whatever that means.
We're all.
Unfortunately, they may be correct. Pretty soon we'll all have to wear little Ks on
GregPalace.com is the best place. GregPalace.com, stuff coming up in Rolling Stone. We will be doing this election crimes bulletin every week. Usually we're going to do it on Wednesday, but today here we are because we wanted to get to this as soon as we got back from Standing Rock. So, Greg Palace, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon. And people can check you out at GregPalace.com.
Just the facts, ma'am.
All right. Peace.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.